All right, what is up, everyone? Welcome back to another Lure Lab episode here on the Serious Angler Network. And as always, I'm your host, the Captain Andrew Full. If you listen to our episode on Tuesday on the Serious Angler Network, you notice that we have some new things going on there, and I had lost my voice. My voice is actually starting to come back now, thank goodness, and we're not going to talk about why. It was a tragic Bills game, so we'll end it there. But we have an awesome episode for you today. We are diving deep into the Strike King Hybrid Hunter with Strike King Pro, Bryant Smith, a frequent flyer these days on the network here, and we enjoy having him on. So we're going to dive into a really good crankbait here, get down to the nitty-gritty of it all. And without further ado, we should just get him on here and let him talk so you don't have to hear me. But yeah, hey, Bryant, how's it going?
It's going well, Andrew. How are you?
Trying to stay warm. Today it was a balmy 37 and raining. So
yeah,
how's it there?
We had to drive an hour away to get to the snow from my house because I was in shorts all morning. So not to make you jealous or anything, but
I wore shorts all day.
Yeah, Californians are crazy enough. We actually drive to the snow for fun.
I don't mind it. It's fun. So, yeah, you saw the picture I sent you before from
the snowstorm
we had. Was that like 2 weekends ago that they moved the Bills game for? So in reference, I live about a mile and a half from the stadium where the Bills play. And I don't know if you got the last picture I sent you, but it was snowing so hard that you can almost not see me from taking a selfie. So,
I saw that. Yeah, that's where I would probably crawl. Cross the line and I, you know, maybe put a for sale sign up on my house.
We moved to the snowbelt, which is the best part of the last year. But yeah, so to put it in perspective, we at times can get up to 4 to 6 inches per hour in a snowband.
I don't even know what that's like. And I can't even imagine that much snow.
And sometimes they'll thunder and lightning too, which will really throw you for a loop.
Just for fun. Yeah. Just a little added excitement in there or something.
You're like, ooh, what was that? Like, is that thunder? And then all of a sudden the whole sky like illuminates. You're like, oh, damn, thunder snow. Like, this stuff is sweet. Like, my gosh.
Like, that would be pretty cool. Like, it would just light, especially at night. That's got to look really cool with the snow. Yeah.
It's really eerie because it's not like your traditional like light blue. It's like green and yellow.
Yeah, I'll pass. I'll trust you that it's cool.
It's cool, but it's eerie, and the thunder's just as loud as a normal thunderstorm. And you're adding in like 60 to 80 mile an hour winds at times, the whole time.
Just throw that in there. A little icing on the cake.
Fantastic, right?
So literally ice. Winter.
So I was out snow blowing and I literally came in looking like Jack Frost. Like the whole was frozen. So, but yeah, we're here to talk fishing, right? It's almost bass season up here in the Northeast. We got like 2 months left before we can get the boats out and go. But, the hybrid hunter, you're going to be on the road soon, and I'm sure you'll be throwing this bad boy quite a bit, especially if you come across some lakes. So for those who don't know what a hybrid hunter is, what is the purpose of the hybrid hunter? Just to start, and then we're going to dive into like the different styles, the regular size and junior. So I'll let you take the floor.
Yeah. So, I mean, the best way I can, and I shouldn't cover up the bill because I feel like the bill is everything. The best way I can describe a hybrid hunter is the perfect treble hook bait to throw around grass. It reminds me a lot of a vibrating jig almost. And that's where the beauty of this bait comes in, because if you've thrown any sort of treble hook bait in the grass, you can know how much of a pain in the butt it could be. Any like lipless, a red eye shad, anything like that, they come through the grass okay, but you're doing a lot of ripping it out. You're a lot of like picking the grass off every cast, stuff like that. The difference between any other treble hook bait and this bait in grass situations is that it comes through so effectively. It comes through so clean. It blows me away every single
time. Horizontal like this, or does it swim nose down?
It swims horizontally. Oh, so
weird.
It is weird. So it's all, I don't know, like this is all based off of an older bait, but the way it swims it seems counterintuitive. You would think you would want it to actually go nose down to block the hooks, right? But in reality, it actually comes through the grass better if it's horizontal like this, because it's not diving into that grass and getting hung up. It almost planes the grass out of the way when it goes forward.
It moves water, so as it's swimming, the grass separates.
Yeah, forward. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So the best part, yeah, that's one of the best parts about this bait for sure, and where it really, really excels is in that thank you. Sorry, just got delivery. Thank you. It is in those grass situations like that, and it's definitely something I reach for a lot more, more and more with the popularity of a vibrating jig. Just something different, you know.
Yeah, that sounds good. And the one thing I noticed, like, what the last like 2 years, 3 years, they've been out what, 3 years now, the Hybrid Hunter, or 2 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're sold out everywhere all the time.
They are. They are.
Really hard to get your hands on.
Yeah, the secret's kind of out on these ones. And it's just, it's a bait that just works. You know, I'm not really into like the science of anything like that. I've thrown it and it's worked for me. And it's a really, really effective way to cover a lot of water when you're up against, you know, like when I go to Florida this year, we go to St. John's, we go to Harris Chain. If we're on those big expansive hydrilla flats, this is something I can throw, and I can throw it behind guys that are maybe throwing a vibrating jig or throwing a top board, just something different. You know, that's what we're always trying to find, is that different look, that different sound, which we'll get into, I'm sure, a little bit later, is the sound of this thing is also.
They sound amazing.
It's freaking loud. It's loud. And, I mean, from what I've seen, you know, when you're grass fishing, you need something. I mean, these fish are not always sitting on the edge of the grass. A lot of times they're like literally inside the grass. So you need something that they can hear and something that can draw them out. And this thing is super, super loud. It's got a huge knock to it. And I think that helps a lot too, of them finding it. They're able to track it better, and you're able to pull those fish out of where they're hiding, basically, a lot
of
the
jungle.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it. So, you know, we have the original, and there's a super shallow, like not super shallow, but there's a shallow hunter. Mm-hmm. And then there's a junior one in each size. So there's four different options of hybrid hunters that people could go and purchase, right? So mm-hmm. like, when would you pick up each one, and when would you go from the big size to the smaller one, like the junior size?
Yeah. So we got this is the big guy. This is the junior one. It's, you know, it's substantially smaller. I base the size for the most part just on obviously forage size. If I see a lot of bigger forage, that's going to be a dead giveaway to throw that bigger one. The other reason why I would grab that bigger one is just when I'm around bigger fish, when I need to draw a bigger bite. This thing, the size of it, it's not huge by any means, but it's definitely bigger than most crankbaits, and I think it could draw a bigger bite. Now, the smaller one, basically the opposite of that. When I'm around smaller bait fish, I'll grab the smaller one. When I'm maybe the bite's a little tougher, or if there's a lot of guys in the area that I'm in, you know, it's just kind of a toned down version of the bigger one. So I'll grab the smaller one when, you know, I think that there's maybe more fishing pressure, or, you know, it's just tougher to get a bite. And then as far as the shallow versus the deep, that's just going to be dictated on how deep the grass is. I want this bait to dive into the grass. I don't want it swimming over the grass. I don't want it swimming in open water. I want it making contact with the grass. So if I'll usually start out with a shallow one, and then if I don't feel it, you know, grabbing enough grass, if I'm not snapping it out of the grass enough, if it's not making enough contact with it, then I'll go to that deeper one. But vice versa, if I get into an area where the deeper one is, or I guess the regular one's digging in too much, then I will go to that shallower one because, you know, it's all about efficiency, right? We want to make as many clean casts as we can. And this thing is very good. It comes to the grass very well, but it is still has, you know, you can't throw the deeper one. Deeper one's like 2 to 4 feet. You're not going to be able to throw this if the hydrilla or whatever you're fishing is a foot under the surface. It's just going to dig into it a little too much. So that's when I'll grab that shallower one.
Now, do you prefer this bait in like a pre-spawn scenario, or do you throw it all year? Like, is there a magic time of year that the hybrid hunter excels?
I actually like it post-spawn a lot. I think post-spawn when they're chasing bluegill, you know, brim, red ear, whatever. When they're chasing stuff like that, I think post-spawn is when it really excels, but I will throw it anytime I have grass. I've caught them pre-spawn. I've caught them during the spawn. I've caught them in summer. I've caught them in fall. I haven't really caught them in winter too much, but
I can't imagine, you know, why. It's probably a little cold.
Yeah. Yeah. But definitely post-spawn seems to be the best. That's when I get the most bites on that guy.
Love it. Now, is there like particular colors that you think are better than others, or like your confidence colors that you go to immediately, like for striking for all purposes, right? Like chartreuse perch, or what's this other one? Sweet shad. Like in striking, you can't beat these two colors. I feel like
no.
I know what your take is.
Yeah. So I have three. Let me grab them real quick. I got three colors that I throw. I got a whole box of them here, but I got three colors that I throw mainly. And I got that one, and then let me grab. I actually like this guy. So they're three very different colors, but they're three colors that can kind of cover my bases, if you will, for everything. I'll have a few specialty ones that I'll throw in certain situations. Like if we go down to Florida, I'm throwing the gold, right? But this chartreuse perch color, I don't know if this is clear water
minnow. Clear water minnow, right? I haven't
been
here, so I'll look.
I'm pretty sure this is clear water minnow. This is just my translucent one, you know, super clear water. If I'm around a shad spawn or something like that, that's what I'll go with here. Anytime I'm around any sort of bluegill, or I think they're feeding on bluegill, this guy is my absolute favorite. And then, you know, I did say we can get some great bites on this in the pre-spawn, and there's nothing better than a, you know, dark red. This is Delta red, and this is actually a California color. We've been throwing this on deep crankbaits for years, but it works great on shallow crankbaits, and it works great on a hybrid hunter too. And this is
my favorite color.
Yes, this has made quite a bit of money on the California Delta, but it'll be something I have tied on at Toledo. It'll be something I have tied on in Fork when we get there in a couple weeks. Just a dynamite color, especially pre-spawn. But those are the three favorites for just kind of all around if I was going to grab three. And then if I had one more, it'd be green gizzard shad, and that's just my favorite Strike King color ever. So that's the only other one I would there really throw. But
between, was it green gizzard, blue gizzard, and sexy shad, like, is there a crankbait color besides those three that has won more money?
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
maybe chartreuse blue back with Keith Cole.
That is true. That'd be a top five for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I keep, I'm always the guy that keeps my colors super, super simple. You know, I just try to get a color for every scenario that I can come up with. And then I run with those ones.
Well, as we know, as fishermen, most baits on the market are meant to be bought and not fished. So I'm with you on that one, right? Like simple, match the hatch. Essentially,
yeah.
Just throw what makes sense in the conditions, and you're probably going to catch fish.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at my box, it's pretty much the same colors, just different variations of those colors. I got some chartreuses, some bluegill colors, the reds, and then variations of the shad. And that's, you know, that's what I like to throw, and that's what I've always had confidence in, a lot of success in, is keeping it simple like that.
Yeah. And simple's better in most instances. We love to overthink it as fishermen. So
I'm one of the best at it, I promise.
I believe it, but I also don't believe it. So, like, I know how fishermen are.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
we are our own worst critics.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, you know, with what I do, I got to catch them against the best guys in the world. And we only have 2.5 days to break it down. So a lot of times I don't get to figure out those finer details. I have to go on generalities a lot more. And that's just kind of what I have my, like, if you look at all my tackle boxes, like, I could grab any tackle box in here and you'll see there's going to be 3 variations, very, very different. And then maybe some offshoots of that, but there's going to be 3 main colors that I stick with.
Like, if it's like, you might, like, for instance, if you took a green pumpkin soft plastic bait, and we're going on a tangent real fast, you might have one with like a crazy flake in it, and you might have one with like a more subtle flake in it, and then just standard green pumpkin black based on the conditions.
Yeah.
I'm the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I love to do, is just keep it simple like that.
And simple works. Bass can't really tell the difference, I don't think. I think it's more catching our own eye. But
absolutely.
Let's hear the setup, right? Like, rod, reel, line, because, you know, hybrid hunter, it's something I'm not very familiar with. These are my first 2 that I bought, right? Like, but I'm assuming because of the cool lip, if you go up and down in your fluorocarbon size, that's going to change the way this bait rides
because
it rides horizontally. So let's kind of dive into that, like, based on how you want to cover the water, what your setup is all the way through.
Yeah. I'll do the rod real quick. Because that's pretty much the easiest part, rod and reel. It's an Alpha Angler chatterbound. It is, you know, I fish this bait a lot like a bladed jig. So I ended up just one day, I'm just going to grab the chatterbound and see how it does with it. And the way the fish eat it, you know, it really lands a lot of fish. And this is a hard bait. Like, if you look at it, this is kind of a tough bait for the anglers, because it's treble hooks, but they have a lot of leverage on this. So I think you need some sort of cranking rod. So anything more moderate, not so much a fast tip, a more moderate bend to it, medium heavy, I would say I would lean towards. This is, you know, the chatterbound's a little more of a medium heavy, just so I can throw the bigger one, you know, well, I can control it. And then you need that medium heavy too, because you're going to get some big bites on this guy. And like I said, where we're throwing this, we're throwing it around grass. So you need to be able to control those fish once they bite. So that medium heavy, moderate, it allows me just a little bit more power to kind of control those fish around the targets. You know, if we're throwing it around hydraulic clumps on Harris chain, or around some wood and some stumps with some grass mixed in and Rayburn or something like that, you're going to have a lot of objects in between the fish and you. So being able to control them really, really helps. But that's the rod. The reel, this is just a loose hypermag, 8.5 to 1. I throw a high speed reel, and I've always tried to do that with everything that I do, because in my mind, it's a lot easier to slow down a fast reel than it is to speed up a slow reel. You have to work, I swear, you got to work 5 times as hard to speed up like a 6.2 to 1, or, you know, even if you drop down to a 5.5 to 1.
Are you using like a 7.2 or an 8 to 1?
Yeah, I use 8.5 to 1. This is the, yeah, but a lot of times I do burn this bait, but I'm able to slow it down a lot easier. And sometimes they eat this a lot like a vibrating jig too. It's kind of interesting, where they'll grab it and they'll actually come towards you like they were tracking it and they actually grab it and come towards you. So a lot of times you, yeah, you'll notice them push it every once in a while. So whenever I have a bait that they do that to, I always tend to run a high speed reel just so I can catch that slack up that much quicker, get the hooks in the fish. But it's weird. I don't say this very often, but one of the biggest keys to this bait is actually the line. And the line controls, you know, we talked about the shallow diver versus the regular.
Are you getting sciencey on us at the moment?
I've never been accused of being sciencey, but
it's I'll not try a word at all, but are you being scientific on us at the moment?
Yeah, I'll try my best to be scientific, but basically, bigger line, shallower it rides, or it'll dive. The lighter the line, the deeper it'll dive. So we have the ability to adjust from the regular to the shallow diver, and we can actually really, really fine-tune it with the size of our line. Generally, I'll start with a 20-pound fluorocarbon. It doesn't hinder the action. This bait has plenty of movement on 20-pound. You can control the fish better. You're not going to break it off, stuff like that, all that good stuff. But if I'm noticing I'm not hitting the grass and I'm throwing the regular one, and maybe the grass is down, I don't know, 5, I don't think I can hit 6 with this thing, but if it's down 5 feet, 4 or 5 feet, I can hit it with this and 15 pound test. I don't like dropping to 12. It's just too, I'll drop to 12 with a small one.
That's a nightmare. Yeah, but grass with a big one.
Yeah, it's just, it's the risk reward isn't there for me. So 15 if I have to, but usually it's 20 pound test. But again, you can control the depth of this bait with the line. Pretty cool how that works.
And also I would assume too, probably like lifting the rod tip up or even dropping it down.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And if you want to rod tip up or drop it down, does that change the action of the bait at all?
It doesn't. It doesn't. It'll still run. It will run like this no matter what you do, from what I've seen. And you can, like, there's sometimes where I'm almost waking it on the surface. I'll keep my rod tip up. I'll have that 20-pound test on, and I'll use that shallower one, and it to the point where it blows out every once in a while. But you can find that, like, perfect angle and actually almost use it as a wake bait over super, super shallow grass, and you almost get some top water bites on it. Oh, pretty cool. But the ability that you have to adjust the depth of it with your line, with how you're holding your rod, that's the cool part. And, you know, you need that with grass fishing because it's not all the same depth. You're not going to be able to just put one on and throw it the same way all day. You'll have to adjust it throughout the days.
Yeah. Now, I have one last question for you, and then I'll let you run with the floor if there's anything else that you think we're missing. But hybrid hunter, I'm not a fan personally of, like, the stock hooks that come on it or split rings. So that's one thing I'm going to be looking to upgrade here. So do you upgrade the split rings and the hooks at all on these baits? Because you are fishing around grass with heavier line.
Yeah, so I do. This is I don't do the split ring. I am a triple grip guy. I've always been a triple grip guy. It's been my favorite hook forever. I have so much confidence in this hook. And the cool thing is you can actually run, it's a big enough body to where you can run some pretty big hooks on here. Like, these are number ones. I don't think these are one aughts. I think these are ones. And ones on the regular one actually, like, they don't tangle, so you're not going to have them tangle, get hung on each other. But if you have one come out and swipe at it, you know, you got some gap there. And it's actually, you know, I'll show you on this side. It's a pretty meaty. It's a pretty wide bait. So you need something that can actually poke out a little bit past the body just so if they do swipe at it, you can catch a piece of them.
Love it.
But yeah, definitely. I always upgrade the hooks on everything. I've always done that. And that, I think these are ones, like I said, on the regular one. And I think I used, I think I use fours on the small guys. I think I use four. Two or four. I think it's a four on the smaller one.
I want to see if it tells us, because I'm on the Omnia site here right now. I want to see if it tells us the size of the hooks. Yeah, so the junior says a size four, and then the shallow says a two. So
yeah, I think you can bump both of those up. You can do, you can definitely do a size one. You could probably even get away with a one on if you really wanted to on the regular one. But
yeah, as long as they don't touch in the middle, right?
Yeah, as long as they're not grabbing and they're not too like big to where they're grabbing a lot of grass, because you know, like I said before, the whole beauty of this guy is the efficiency through the grass, how easy it comes through the grass. It's the wildest thing. I'm like, it's so crazy. The first time I picked it up, I'm like, I was on Kissimmee Chain, and we're just out in the middle on Lake Toho, and there's a giant grass flat. It goes basically the whole lake's a giant grass flat. And I grabbed it. I'm like, I'm about to throw treble hooks into this. And I was struggling to get like a vibrating jig through it. And I threw treble hooks, and it just glides through it. It's crazy.
Oh, and hopefully you got bit.
I did. Absolutely. Absolutely, I did.
And then the light bulb went off, and you're like, crap.
This thing's for real. Let's
try to keep this a secret for a little bit.
Yeah,
that didn't last very long.
That lasted all of about 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's the way it goes. Fishing industry, somebody's going to find out, and then everyone else finds out, right? So.
Oh, yeah. But we're all here to catch more fish, and this is definitely it's a special bait, and it'll get you some extra bites. It'll show them a little different presentation than they're used to. And yeah, it'll catch you some fish.
Can't wait. So, anything else you want to touch on, Bryant, here before we let you go? Anything I'm missing?
Retrieve speed. That's the one other thing I would say with this thing is. A lot of times you cannot move it fast enough for them. So always play with the retrieve speed. Stop and go works really well with this bait because it does float, but if you stop it quick enough, it'll almost hover there. It almost kind of just hovers and backs up just a little bit, and then you can hit it again and keep it going. But I would definitely, I always try to play with the retrieve whatever they want that day. Sometimes it's the stop and go. Sometimes it's burning it. Other times it is slow rolling it. Like if right now when it's a little cooler outside, I definitely do slow roll it a little bit more. But just get out with this thing and throw it. That's the cool part about it. It's a fish finder. It really is, especially on those giant flats. It's a fish finder.
So just get out there, cover water, change your retrieve, and make sure you burn it half the time, and you're probably going to get bit.
That's it.
It's good advice. So, thanks, Bryant, for coming on. It's always good to see you. I hope you have a safe travel to Florida because you're probably gearing up to leave here soon, right?
Yeah. Luckily, I only got to go to Texas first.
Oh, Texas. You're right. Toledo Bend.
Yeah.
They changed the schedule on me this year, so I'm not used to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, I stop at Toledo Bend and don't just keep going straight to Florida. Like, where's everybody at? I thought it was in Florida.
When was the last time the Elite Series started in Texas? It's got to be forever.
I don't know if it's ever happened, to be honest with you. I'm excited, though. You know, it's for two reasons. We're going to catch them. They're going to catch them big, especially if the weather holds out in Texas. The cool time of year to be in Texas. And then the other thing is we get to go to Florida in April, which is totally different than, you know, what we usually do. So that'll be a cool experience too. And I think a lot of people open their eyes to how good Florida fishing is, not just in January and February, but year round.
Yeah, I have a buddy that lives just outside Tampa, and he's always catching big ones all summer. I'm just like, man, if I could only stand the heat for more than like 1 hour, maybe. Maybe. So me and he don't get along. That's why I am where I am.
I get it.
So, thanks, Bryant, for coming on. It's always good to see you. I wish you the best of luck in 2024, and hopefully you can catch another record-breaking bag of fish.
Hey, I'm going to try, but I appreciate it, Andy. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. So we'll chat soon.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode here on the Lure Lab. I forgot to mention it at the beginning of the show, but down in the description, there are links to the Hybrid Hunter on the Omnia website. They might have some in stock right now as you're listening. They may not, but there is a message notification that you can set up that they email you when the baits come into stock. And then if they are in stock, when you go to purchase them, type in code SERIOUS10. You'll save yourself 10% on the baits and get them shipped relatively quickly to your house. But I want to thank Bryant for coming on, breaking down the Hybrid Hunter. I look forward to throwing it this summer, spring, and fall. I know the months are out and the seasons are out of order, but whatever. But if you're on pod, if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, please leave us a review. If you're new here on YouTube or listening on YouTube, hit that thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button if you're new and leave a comment down below if you've thrown the Hybrid Hunter before. And we will catch you next Saturday.